If you have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to the book of Ephesians. I would like to read from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. It's the desire of my heart that we study about the whole armor of God. I don't think that we'll get to the specific study on the armor of God this morning, but at least we will hopefully introduce the fact that we need the whole armor of God. As the people of God, we need to understand that we have a major enemy in this world. We have someone who fights against us. We have someone who despises us. And we have someone who desires to destroy your life. And that's the devil. The devil is a liar and a murderer. The devil has been causing trouble from the beginning of time. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, he began to lie and deceive Eve, and he has continued throughout all ages up until this time and will continue to deceive and devour and destroy God's people unless they put on the whole armor of God. Unless we recognize that Satan is real, and unless we recognize the seriousness of the problem, then we're not going to prepare ourselves for what we face in our lives. But if we recognize and believe what God says in His Word, we recognize that in this world we will have trouble. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And I pray that God will help us to face the reality of the problems being real. May God help us to know that there is no reason for the people of God who are trying to serve God and who love God, there is no reason for us to ever be afraid of what's going on in our lives or in our nation. In Ephesians chapter 6, I want to begin by reading verses 10 through 20. The Word of God says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Brethren, there, I know that, do you think that people just naturally speaking, not speaking about spiritually, but do you think that some people are just naturally stronger than others? Do you think that's true? I do. I think that there are some people that can, not talking about spiritually at all right now, I think there are some people that can stand more pain than other people can, just naturally speaking. I think there are some people that are better able to face troubles in their life from just a natural standpoint. There are others that are very weak and they can't stand pain and they can't face problems and they can't face troubles. But I want you to know that it doesn't matter if you're the strongest person in the world in a natural sense. I want you to know that there are things that can come in your life that no matter how strong you are, doesn't matter how much pain you can withstand, doesn't matter how you can face problems in life, you will face problems in your life that you cannot stand no matter how strong you are without the help of God. And so it is that I want us to pray that God will help us to all understand that we need the Lord's help. We just sang, "I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. But I know who holds tomorrow." God is the one who holds tomorrow. God is the one who holds me and you in His hand. So he says here, "Finally, my brethren," Ephesians 6, verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Don't trust in your own strength. If you trust in your strength, If you trust in your wisdom, if you trust in your money, if you trust in anything in the natural realm, if you trust in that, God will show you that all He has to do is speak, and all that comes to naught. So be strong, but be strong in the Lord. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." Have you ever felt the power of God in your life? Have you ever faced troubles and problems that you felt so weak that you did not know what to do and you had no strength whatsoever and yet you felt the power of God resting upon you? You felt the power of God lifting you up. And that's what Paul is talking about here and exhorting the saints of God at Ephesus. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That's the most powerful people, the most powerful people there are on the face of this earth are people that are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can you stand? Do you know the devil's going to shoot fiery darts at you? And as the devil is attacking your life, do you know that you can put on the whole armor of God, and by the grace of God and with the help of God, you can stand against the wiles of the devil? Is the devil strong? Is the devil powerful? But did you know a little child of God, and I'm talking about little children, literally children, and I'm also talking about those little children of God, doesn't matter if they're 80 or 90 or 100 years old, I'm talking about little children of God, no matter how small they might be, did you know that by the grace of God, no matter how powerful the devil is, that when God is working in your life, that you are more powerful than the devil? The Word of God tells us in 1 John, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. The Word of God there is talking about the devil, and that the devil is real, and the devil is powerful, but God in you is more powerful than the devil. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What does that also tell you? That if you don't put on the whole armor of God, what will the result be? You cannot stand against the wiles of the devil. Your life and my life will be destroyed if we don't put on the whole armor of God. Don't put part of it on, it won't help you. You cannot beat the devil without putting on the whole armor of God. Every part of the armor of God was absolutely and is absolutely essential. Was it essential for the Apostle Paul to put it on? Yes, it was. Let's take Samson. Was it important for Samson to put on the whole armor of God? Was Samson a strong man? Was he a strong man? Literally, physically, in the flesh. Was Samson a strong man? Certainly he was. Well, in spite of all of his natural strength, though he in the natural realm was a strong man, what happened to Samson? He did not put on, and brethren, this didn't start in Ephesians 6 where God's people needed the whole armor of God. You go all the way back through all the ages of history, every child of God that has ever lived has needed the whole armor of God. It's not something new. And it's not something that you'll ever reach a point where you don't need the whole armor of God. Every day, you have to put it on. It's not something you're born with. Though you're born of the Spirit of God, and though God dwells in you, you as the child of God who's been born of the Spirit of God and redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, you must put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Can you say to the devil today, bring it on? Can you say to the devil today, you bring whatever you have. You bring all of your forces against me. Can you say that to the devil? Can you say to the devil today, you bring everything you've got, you do anything you want to, and I will never deny my Lord and my Savior. Can you say that today? Did Peter say that? Did Peter think he could do it? Could Peter have done it? Could Peter have withstood the devil? Could Peter have refused to deny Jesus Christ? Could Peter have done what he promised to do? Could he have done that? He could have. But what would he have had to have done in order to do what he said he was going to do? He had to put on the whole armor of God. The only reason Peter failed, the only reason Samson failed, The only reason that David failed one time in his life was because one day David didn't have on the whole armor of God. You have to put on the whole armor of God every day. You can't put it on. So many people think they walk down the aisle one time and join the church and they think that's it. I'm telling you, brethren, it's a daily warfare. It's every day that we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow Christ. It's every day that we have to put on the whole armor of God. And any day that you don't put it on, the devil's going to get you that day. Every day. He's after you every day. And he'll destroy you and he'll destroy me if we don't put on the whole armor of God. Listen now to verse 12. You know, there was a time in my life, I can't do it today, there was a time in my life that I didn't have fear physically to fight most anybody. When I was about 21, 22, 23 years old, I'd fight anybody. I enjoyed fighting. Physically fighting, I'm talking about. I can't do that now. But the Word of God says the fight that I'm talking about to you this morning is not a physical fight with physical people. The Word of God says here in verse 12, "For we wrestle not." Did you know I still can fight? If I look to God, if I put on the whole armor of God, I can fight. I can fight better than I used to could fight physically. I can fight spiritually if I put on the whole armor of God. I can fight today. I can fight somebody stronger than anybody I used to fight a long time ago. I can fight somebody stronger than them, and I can win if I put on the whole armor of God. The Word of God says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." But here's what we do wrestle against. He names four things. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Brethren, the things that we have to fight are not human beings, even though sometimes principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and everything else he mentions here, sometimes they do come through people. It is not the people that you have to fight. It's the spiritual warfare that you have to fight. Please remember that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Did you know there's some of the weakest people? You know there's some people in these wheelchairs that are as far as they don't even have the strength to stand up. Did you know that? And did you know that some of these are the strongest people in this building today? Did you know? Some of the people that are the weakest physically are the strongest people in this building. Sister Stalvey, a while ago when I spoke to her, she said, "I want you to look inside of me. Can you see my heart going flop, 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 flop?" She said, "Do you see that? Do you see what it's doing right now? Flop, 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 flop." I said, "Well, I see your heart." She said, "Can you see it?" I said, "Yes, I can. I can see your heart. And I see Jesus in your heart." She said, "That's the reason I can face the problems I have in my life. It's Jesus in me." She just began to preach and teach and talk about the power of God. She said, "Without Jesus in me, I couldn't have made it through this past week." She said, "Nobody knows what's going on inside of my heart." Did you know she's exactly right? There's not a doctor in this world. There's nobody else that knows what's going on. But God knows what's going on, and she may be going through more worse problems than anybody in this building. But you know, her confidence is not in the doctors or the medicine. Her confidence is in Jesus Christ. 100%. That's who's keeping her alive. P.S. That's who's keeping you alive. The only reason you're here today is because your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ, has been with you through another day. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Do we have a spiritual warfare going on in our lives today? Even if it's physical sickness, is it still a spiritual battle? Yes, it is. There are some people that can face the loss of health and face the loss of possessions and face the loss of loved ones and can face anything else the devil brings. And the only reason they can face all those losses, the only reason they're strong enough in all of those things, is because of the power of God that's upon them. Have you ever seen anybody strong in the Lord? Strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Boy, it's a marvelous thing, isn't it? Makes you happy. Makes you rejoice to watch. Don't you love to see people that in the midst of, you just know Satan's attacking you, and you just see them just getting higher and higher. It's kind of like when the flood came in Noah's Ark. It just got higher and higher. No matter how big the flood got, what did it do to Noah's Ark? It just rose up higher. And that's the way it is in the lives of the people of God that put on the whole armor of God, that the wind and the rain and the storms come into their lives. But what happens? God just lifts them up higher and higher, and they're able to overcome all of those things that fight against them. Why? Is it because of their strength? No, it's because of the power of God that rests upon them. So he says, put on the whole armor of God. Now verse 13. Verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now listen, he's going to talk specifically about the parts of the armor of God. We're probably going to come back to this either tonight or next Sunday or sometime, because I want to preach on the whole armor of God. I'm going to go through and identify every part of the armor of God. But there's some other things, after I mention the armor of God, I want to go further into the fact and the reality that the devil is after you. I want that to be impressed on your mind today. I feel led of God to let all of you know that the devil is after you, and the devil is going to attack you, and the devil is going to attack our nation. And unless you have on the whole armor of God, you will not make it. Stand therefore, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, listen carefully now, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always. I don't want you to stop at verse 17. I want you to know that as you put on every part of the armor of God, that you must then what? What's verse 18 say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Don't just pray for yourself. Pray for all saints, verse 19 says, and for me. The Apostle Paul said, I need your prayers that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. That's where I'm going to stop reading right there. The main point I want you to get right now is the devil's after you, and the only thing you can do, and this isn't a note of despair, it's an impression and it's an emphasis that the only thing you can do is put on the whole armor of God. No other way around it. Can't try anything else. Nothing else will work. You have to put on the whole armor of God. Now, go with me in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter. Turn in your Bibles toward the end of the New Testament. I want you to look at 1 Peter chapter 5. And we're going to, Lord willing, come back and look specifically at each of the parts of the armor of God. But right now, God is burdening my heart and has for all this past week and the week before last, the last 3 or 4 weeks, God has put very, very strongly on my heart the importance of every one of you, every one of us being prepared for the battles and the storms of life. Get ready. It's coming. 1 Peter chapter 5, now beginning in verse 6. Is that a doom and gloom note? Do you think I'm preaching doom and gloom? I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm preaching reality that the storm is coming, and the wonderful, wonderful truth that you can get ready for the storm and you can endure the storm and weather the storm and you can win the battle. That's the wonderful truth of the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, the Word of God says, humble yourselves. You know, the most important part that every one of us needs to do today is humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Humble ourselves. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the what? There's two things I want you to know this morning. There's two things I want to emphasize. One is your weakness. Did everybody hear that? I want you to know your weakness. I want you to know the devil can trip you up and destroy you just like that. I want you to know your weakness, and I want you to know and be reminded of God's power. That's what I want you to see. That without Him, we can do nothing. But with Him, Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which what? Which strengthens me. Are you strong or weak, Brother Donald? Are you strong or weak? Weak. Thank you, Lord. I knew you knew the answer. Are you strong? I'm asking every one of you. Are you strong or are you weak? If you think you're strong, you just better fasten your seatbelt, because you're fixing to hit rock bottom. 1 Peter 5, 6, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you. He'll lift you up in due time, casting all your care upon Him. Do you have cares? Do you have problems? Do you have trouble? Do you have things you don't know what to do about? Cast all your cares upon Him, for He careth for you. Is that a wonderful truth, a great message? Are you glad God cares for you? Did you know nobody else may care for some of these people in this building, but God cares for them? Did you know that? And I don't believe nobody else cares, because we bring you here because we care. We care. But the most important thing is God cares. Cast all your cares. I don't care what your problems, I don't care what your burdens are. God's Word says, cast all your cares upon Him. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Acknowledge you don't know what to do. You don't have the strength to do it. You don't have the wisdom. I'll tell you this, our federal government doesn't know what to do they? You try to get a clear answer out of them. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? They don't know what to do. And you don't know what to do. You put yourself up there. You go straighten the problem out if you think you've got all the answers. We don't know what to do. What did Jehoshaphat say? 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. He says, we have no strength, neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon Thee. That's what we've got to do. When you don't know what to do, you better know what to do. When you don't know what to do in your life, you better know, look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Look to Him. Humble yourself and say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't want to be a fool, but I'll be a fool for Christ's sake. I don't want the world to hate me. Did you know I want everybody to love? Well, I don't want everybody to love me, but I would like for a lot more people to love me than do right now. I'd like for most everybody to like me. That's just the flesh. That's just the flesh. Jesus came down in this world. Was He worried about people liking Him? Was he concerned about everybody following Him? Did He think, well, I better back up on this position because right now everybody's turning away from me and I better just compromise some so that I can have more followers? Listen, brethren, Jesus never compromised. He spoke truth. John the Baptist would not compromise. He spoke truth. Stephen would not compromise. He spoke truth. You know what every one of them had on? They all had on the whole armor of God. Did they have some fiery darts? Did they have some beatings? Did they have problems in their lives? Did they have trouble? Did they have storms? Did they have battles? They had more battles and storms in their life than any of you have ever faced. But God was with them. What did they do? Cast your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Jesus cares about you. Verse 7 now, verse 8. Verse 8 says, be sober. That means be serious-minded. It's time to get serious about what we're facing in our lives. Be sober. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, who is your adversary? The devil. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who can he devour? Who can Satan devour? Boy, isn't that amazing? How old are you, sisters? How old are you, Sister Stalvey? She said she's old enough to be my mama. Well, Sister Stalvey and a lot of these other dear saints from the nursing home, I thank God for your faith and your confidence and your knowledge and your understanding of the truth. I'm glad you know my Jesus. I'm glad you know my Savior. I know that you are strong in the Lord. Listen, brethren, we better get strong in the Lord. We better put on the whole armor of God. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Who can he devour? Sister Stalvey said, and the truth is, he can devour anybody that does not have on the whole armor of God. He'll do everything he can. Verse 9. Whom resist? Who do we resist? Who are we supposed to resist? Who is it that we're to resist? The devil. Can you resist the devil? Can you resist the devil? Don't tell me the devil made me do it. That's a lie from the devil. I've seen people that went to church, that wore shirts, that said, the devil made me do it. That's a lie. The devil cannot make you do anything. You can resist the devil. You can resist the devil. Resist the devil. James, the book of James says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You and I have the power to resist the devil. And if we'll put on the whole armor of God, and if we'll look to God, if we'll humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and we look to God for the strength we need, we'll be able to resist the devil. And so he says in verse 9, 1 Peter 5, 9, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Let me just pause right here and tell you what I think that means. You know what the devil tells Christians? I'm talking about real Christians. You know what the devil tells people that are trying to serve God, that are suffering for well-doing? You know what the devil tells them? The devil tells them, well, those people out there in the world, they're not suffering. Has the devil ever told any of you that those people out there are not suffering? Anybody ever been... Listen, the devil whispers that in my ear quite often. They're not suffering. They're doing fine. The Word of God says right here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 9, he says that we're to resist the devil, knowing that the same afflictions that you're having are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. There are brethren out there, there are children of God out there, and they're suffering. Don't think that when you walk away from God, don't think when you become a traitor, don't think that when you stop resisting the devil that everything's going to be fine. The fact, the reality is, the same kinds of things you suffer that your brethren that are out there in the world, they're suffering too. And though you might not be able to see it happening, they will suffer greatly under the mighty hand of God. Verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. Are you going to have to suffer? Are you going to have to suffer? Are you going to have to suffer? Even if you put on the whole armor of God, are you going to have to suffer? Yes, sir. That ye, after ye have suffered a while, may God make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. You ever been calm in your soul? You ever had no fear? That's part of what that songwriter said when that we sang, I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about tomorrow. These people that say, I know I'm never going to be sick. I know I'm never going to have financial problems because I believe they're liars, just like the devil. Listen. Yeah. Listen, brethren. You're going to have troubles and you're going to have problems, but you can withstand every trouble and every problem you have. What a wonderful... Does Satan desire to have you? Does he desire to have you? The Bible says that Jesus told Peter, Satan hath desired to have you that he may what? Sift you as wheat. Now, brethren, Satan got hold of Peter, and Satan did sift him as wheat. But Jesus says, but I have prayed for thee. Now that's amazing grace. You know it? Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him. And he says, now Satan's desire to have you that may sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And when thou art converted, in other words, after you've been through this hell you're going to go through because you deny me, when you're converted, you go strengthen your brethren. Go strengthen your brethren. Can you be a strength to me? Can I be a strength to you? Can we strengthen each other? Do we need the strength from the Lord? But does the Lord sometimes strengthen us through our brothers and sisters in Christ? One of the greatest blessings I have in this world is knowing brothers and sisters in Christ that I know love the Lord. They don't always, every day, 24 hours a day, they don't always do what's right. They don't always have on the whole armor of God. We all backslide. We all fall short. But I'm thankful to be a part of a body of people that loves God, fears God, and wants to serve God, and wants to grow, and will acknowledge we're not what we ought to be, but we're going to try to get there before we die. May God help us, brethren, as children of God, to acknowledge how much we need Him to face the troubles and problems of life, is my prayer for Christ's sake.